Johnson interviewing Mr. C.A. McDonnell, longtime scoutmaster of Troop 12 and over 50 years in scouting, talking about the beginning of the Order of the Arrow and the Concho Valley Council. Mr. McDonnell, I have a newspaper story that shows where you were inducted in the OA the first year they had it. And the story is right here, and C.A. McDonnell, San Angelo. And this was the first year that the Order of the Arrow was held, and that was in the summer of 1941. Do you remember anything about the OA in those days?
Yeah, I sure do.
What can you tell me about the Order of the Arrow?
Well, it was a real impressive organization.
You remember how it got started?
Well, it was a Camp Honor Society. And each troop picked out, according to the number of members they had in their troop, as to how many they were able to nominate for the Order of the Arrow.
Now, was this done at camp in those days rather than, say, back in OA, as I recall?
It was,
everything
it was
happened
camp.
Only in camp,
yeah.
That there was nothing went on the rest of the year.
It was at camp. And each troop, boys would nominate every how many members they could have for the number of people that they had in the troop. Then they were voted on. And then they were tapped out like that at the campfire. And when they tapped out, then they put a briar wreath around their neck. And they left them at the campfire until everybody else left and went back to their campsite.
This is a Camp Fawcett. I mean,
Saul Meyer.
Camp Saul.
Yeah.
Well,
Saul
Camp Lewis Farr.
Lewis Farr, yeah.
Right.
Okay, and then after everybody else had been dismissed and went back to their campsites, and they were sent back to campsites and then dismissed, they would be given instructions to go to their campsite, get a blanket, and come back and meet at the flagpole. And from then on, from now on, until they were told after the initiation was over, they couldn't speak.
In other words, they were on silence.
They were on silence. And they were to do whatever the ones that was performing the initiation and everything instructed them to do. So they go back, they get their blanket, and they come back up, and they stand there like a bunch of dummies around the flagpole, you know, looking at each other wondering what in the heck's going to happen, you know. Then,
you remember what night of the week
people,
this was?
On Thursday, I believe.
Thursday?
The latter part of the week. Because they had time to complete the initiation before the camp was over with. And this is like a tap-out team. They tapped them out. Okay, they'd go out and they instruct them that they would be dumped off someplace in the wilderness. They give them two matches. They built a fire. They kept that fire burning all night. And returned to the flagpole the next morning at a given time. And then they'd be instructed to the jobs that they'd have performed during that day. And the wreath, they wore this wreath the whole time. Well, they wore this wreath until they got their fire going good that night, and then they burnt the wreath. But they wore this wreath until then, and it was made out of briar vines. I mean, it really stung, burned. And then they line them up, and each one of them put one hand on the individual in front of him. And then we had a leader that would get in front of the first one and put his hand on his shoulder. And then they'd lead them around through the thickest brush that they could find. They'd just drag them over logs and over this and that, and through the water and down by the river and every place, you know, you could hear the frogs and everything. And they would stop. And they'd take one, they're blindfolded now. They blindfolded them. When we left the flagpole, each boy was blindfolded. And they would drop the last one off. And that would be the area that he was supposed to be in. He's supposed to stay in that area, not leave it. But they had to build a fire. And if he didn't get his fire built with two matches, then he had to come back to camp, find his way back to camp. And find his way back to where he was at and come up and to the mess hall and get a match. And he'd get one then. So they was like 25, 30 boys more. And they were scattered all over the place. They were not as far away as it seemed like to them as it was, you know. That first night, you seem like you're just 100 miles from any place, you know. Because you don't hear anything and nothing, you know.
Well, Lewis Farm was only about 50 acres. It wasn't a real big camp.
Yeah, but the brush was so thick.
You didn't know where you were.
You didn't know where you were. If you couldn't find a trail, I mean, you were lost. Because it was thick. It was undergrowth in there, briars, because they didn't run anything in there that would eat it out or clear down anything. And you just had little trails going to the campsites. One campsite would be real close to the other one, but you wouldn't know it hardly. It was so thick in there. But anyhow, they come back up the next day at the flagpole, and they meet there. And we worked them at the mess hall, and we worked them on special projects, like down at the swimming hole, cleaning the swimming hole out, and cleaning the latrines. And most of them got them a twig, peeled the bark off of it and everything, and they chewed on it because they couldn't talk and everything. And they carried that thing around their mouth all day chewing on it. And we used them as KPs for the staff table at the mess hall and everything like that. And it sort of reminded me of the movies you see of where they're initiating guys going across the equator or midshipments at Annapolis or West Point, a place like that, the initiation, all that stuff that they had to go through and everything.
I saw a picture of some kids that had Mohawk haircuts.
Yeah.
Part of it, or just
they did? That came in later on sometime another once in a while.
What do you remember about your initiation when you were inducted in OA? Do you remember anything?
I just
at all?
Remember it was a long night.
It was a long night, staying awake all night.
Yeah.
There was a kid that was the chief, and it was Charles Chuck Taylor, waterfront
director.
Do you remember Chuck?
Yeah.
What do you remember
last
about
time? Him? Last time I heard of Chuck, he was teaching school. Robert Lee or Bront, but he left there. He's been a school teacher ever since he got out of service. Another guy that was with him was Stratton Beasley. And Stratton Beasley has got an office here in town. He's a finance broker or sales securities or something like that. I've seen him at a college reunion out at the lake a few years ago. I had a reunion for my class. Went to ASU. Well, it was San Angelo Junior College, and Stratton came to the reunion and went out there.
It was Beasley or Beesley?
I don't remember how he spelled it.
But he's with the financials here in San Angelo.
Yeah, Stratton Beasley. And he's in the phone. I got his address at home, probably. It's in the phone book, though, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure he's still here. One of those OA sashes somewhere. They're made out of, mine's about eat up, and Ma's about eat up. They're felt. They're white felt, and got the, back when they first made them, the first one we had were white felt, and the red arrow was just stamped on there. And the Ma's like that felt.
So they used to eat them up for a while.
Yeah, so they don't hold up. Later on, they made them out of cloth and sewed the arrows on there.
I noticed that J.B. Morris was inducted the same time you were.
Yeah. He was scoutmaster at Texon at that time.
And a scoutmaster Mitchell from McCamey.
Mm-hmm.
And Max Laurie from Fort Stockton. And let's see, C.H. Taylor, Troop 2's.
Yeah.
Claude Stone of Ballinger. Horace Reese and Joe Daugherty, Troop 58 of Big Lake.
Big Lake, yeah. I used to see Joe Daugherty some.
Who, and the first time that you went, they didn't have any kids that were in the OA. Who inducted you? The scout executive or camp
staff?
Director? Staff ran the first year they ran the OA. I guess they weren't inducted. I guess they were just members.
Yeah. That was a pretty good long time, pretty good while ago, you know.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that in this story, they called it the Arrow Point Lodge. Do you ever remember it being the Arrow Point Lodge, or they just get messed up in the story instead of calling it Wahinto Lodge? I know by 43 they were calling it the Wahinto
Lodge.
They
just changed it, I think, later on.
Did you get a pack
back during the war
when you first got in, or is this something that came along later in the OA?
That came along later. All we got was at SASH.
Well, you've been in the OA since it started, haven't you?
Yeah.
Probably the oldest member of the OA, at least in this council. What other things do you remember about the OA and the things that they did and ceremonies and things?
Well, later on they started doing a lot of work on special camp projects, went meeting down at camp and fixing things that need to be worked on and everything like that.
When did they start having meetings in town? I assume that OA in most of the periods of the 40s was just, it just happened during the summer camp period, and then when camp was over, that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly when that was.
Were you going to Saulmeyer then, or were you still going to...
Well, we went to Bowes.
Not far.
No, we went to Fawcett a lot. And, I didn't mark all these pictures here. Some of them I can tell where they were.
Where is this at? This looks like Lewis Farr.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that most
that
of these
house
are
is
Lewis
still
Farr.
There.
Yeah, that's Lewis Farr. This is like in the mess hall at Lewis Farr. These are the cabins that were out there. The staff stayed in.
That looks like there's McLaughlin. Mark McLaughlin in that picture. Now this is the Farr Village and then
mm-hmm.
the Carr Village.
Yeah, Carr Village.
How do they determine who stayed in Carr Village?
The staff stayed there.
Is that where the staff stayed? Mm-hmm. Did you bring your own tent?
Yeah. Well, we got some tents later on. Got a bunch of Army surplus tents. That's different. That's there at the Coliseum in a merit badge show. That's down at camp. I can't, these are down there at Lewis Farr also.
Yeah.
Now this must be Fawcett.
Yeah, that's
on
kind
of that rifle range.
Yeah. Up against the hill, the old rifle range they have.
These catfish are all down there at Lewis Farr.
Gee, y'all caught a lot of catfish.
Yes.
Who's the man in the picture?
Arthur Rosenthal.
Yeah,
he lives over here at Walnut Street. He was my assistant scout master then. This boy here owns the fiberglass specialty company up here on the Bryant Thruway North. This boy here is a forest ranger now. And this one here works for the county. And he has a son that's on the police force. This one here works at Goodyear. That's one that has a specialty company.
When was this
rifle
when
range.
These pictures taken?
Early 50s, I guess, or 40s. In the 40s, I guess it was. Some of them got the date on them back there. It was stamped on there by the people that made the pictures. So, yeah, 62 is when this one was. This was at Cloud Trough, New Mexico. This is Jack McCarley here. You remember Jack McCarley?
Oh, yeah.
And that's his brother, Bill. I don't know who that guy is.
I've never met his brother, Bill.
That's the archery range down there. This was out, it used to be Lorette's swim pool.
Lorette's swim pool out there having a water.
I guess that's made about the time that I got the Silver Beaver there.
Boy, you look young in that picture.
Why don't you look at that picture in there in a minute and see if that's a... The one you've seen, I thought this, the one in there, I got it dated 47, that's the archery range down at camp.
That's at Fawcett,
yeah.
Rifle range looks brand new.
December of 54. I don't know why we took that position. A bunch of knot boards and flag down at the Episcopal Church. We used to meet in the basement of the Episcopal Church a long time ago.
The troop did?
Yeah.
Is that where it first started?
No. Troop 12 used to be sponsored by the Standard Times. When I was a kid, I belonged to Troop 32. Sponsored by the American Legion. And we met in the American Legion Hall. It was up there at 24th and 5th Street on North Chapman. The old Santa Fe Depot.
Okay.
And they tore it down. I bought me a picture of it here. Then when they had that centennial down there on Concho Street, I found me a picture down there.
Well, this shows you being a member of Troop 32 at camp in 41.
Mm-hmm. I was in Troop 32 up until I went to the Navy. Sea Scout. I belonged to Sea Scout before I went to the Navy.
And, was that prior to when? When did you go in the Navy?
43. Yeah. And,
you're what, 18 then?
Yeah. And when I came back, the Kiwanis Club had took over Troop 12. And Standard Times quit sponsoring it. So the Kiwanis Club said they would sponsor it. And there was a sergeant out in Goodfellow Field, was scoutmaster of it, in 44. And when I came back in 45, the Kiwanis Club come to me and asked if I'd take over the troop. And I've had it ever since. Except for during the Korean War, I was gone for 18 months during the Korean War.
What do you remember?
I got a whole bunch of clippings like that somewhere.
What do you remember about your early as a youth in Boy Scouting here in this council?
A troop patch we had made.
Ski patrol.
Yeah, when we used to go to Cloud Cross and Mexico. We went up there 12 years straight in a row. Never missed a Christmas.
When did y'all start going?
In 49.
49?
Yeah, and we'd go up there and leave day after Christmas and come back New Year's Day.
Huh. Well, these are old Camp Far patches. These are the oldest I think I've seen. I don't know when they were issued, but I assume that was
in the 30s.
Felt patches. Yeah. It'd have to be in
the 30s. Everything was made in felt.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, up until the 40s it was made in felt. What do you remember about being a Boy Scout? When did you become a Boy Scout? Do you remember?
I was in the Cubs, joined the Cubs in 34, and came a scout in 36. And first trip I made to Camp Lewis Far. His friend was in the troop with me. Had
this
an umbrella.
Troop 36. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Troop 36.
You remember what club pack you were in, or where they met?
I think it was 10.
Pack 10.
Yeah. See, I believe it was up on North Chadburn at a church up there. By a church, it was a Reagan School. Went to John S. Reagan School. And then I remember in 36. We had the flood. And I have pictures in here in the cabin on the walls here in a minute of the cabins and the buildings we used down here, down here in Santa Fe Park. And they washed away during the flood in 36. And a bunch of us scouts went down there and we helped people down there that lived along the river. They'd raise the windows on their houses and they'd pick a big tree out, tie a rope around it, big rope, and run it through the windows in the house and out the other side of the house, tie it to another tree, and they'd do about two or three ropes that way. And the water got deep. It wasn't swift, it was backup water. Because all the water couldn't get through down at the forks of the river at Bell Street. The house would float up off the foundation and then just sit back down. It might be crooked, but it would still be there. And we helped them string them ropes up and everything. And the cabin, we were too late to save them cabins that we had belonged to the scouts.
Well,
some of them were meeting cabins, some of them were meeting cabins, all but one. And one of them was the scout executive lived down there then. And usually their scout office too.
I understand a lot of people lost a lot of their pictures and scout stuff because it was stored in the cabins.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it washed away. And then, I don't remember, that year or the next year, I went to Camp Almar. And Lawrence Lossie, he's a building,
Lewis Farr.
He had got a brand new umbrella tent, a present. And it was a Thanksgiving camp, and it was cold. Oh, it was cold. So we were about to freeze that night, so we warmed us up some rocks. Put some big rocks in the fire and got them hot. Then we put them in our sleeping bags. We didn't have regular sleeping bags like they do now.
Right.
But everybody made their own out of quilts and blankets and everything, you know. And somebody got a hot coal in with their rock. And I woke up, and that tent was plumb full of smoke. I wonder we didn't suffocate. Because the tent was all closed up, buttoned up, didn't have zippers in it, was buttoned up and everything. Had a canvas bottom in it. It burned a hole in the canvas bottom out that bit. And really messed up our bedrolls, you know. That was the first camp out there at Camp Lewis Ward I went on. I remember that.
Do you remember anything about the staff or the program or anything that they did in the 30s?
Yeah, well, as soon as I became old enough, I was on the staff. I was KP pusher for almost several years out there.
Now, what did a KP pusher do? That was a young man, and who did what?
Well, at mealtime, each troop would send up a KP for each table that they required. Every how many boys they had a troop,
right.
They set so many boys at a table, and they had to have a KP for each table. And they would send those KPs up. And the KP pusher would take charge of them and tell them how to set up the tables, and what food to get, and then help serve it out. And I don't know, I was about 15. And then our scoutmaster quit when I was 17. And so I took the troop over and took care of it until I went in the Navy.
Were you active when you were inducted in the OA? Did you then, the next year, go to camp and help put on the ceremonies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then later on...
Did you ever play any parts? Do you remember what parts you played?
Yeah, but I don't remember what it was now. I remember the parts, those Indian names and all that, you know.
Nudica, Picard, Mateo, and Alawatsky.
Learn all those parts and everything. And it was really impressive. We had out there, our campfires were real nice because you were in this big clearing in a circle, and you had one little trail coming in there, and that was it. And you look all around you, and behind all the boys and everything, you couldn't see nothing but vegetation, especially in the summertime, you know. And a lot of that stuff stayed green there year-round out there. Those oak trees, mostly oak trees in there, and all that, with briars and all kinds of vegetation going on. I sure hate to lose that camp out there.
It was a camp for many, many years.
Yeah.
A lot of people grew up in that camp.
Yeah, sure did.
When you went out there, Carr Village and the big building, all that was there then, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was just
built.
Mm-hmm. They built the mess hall in 33, I think.
33.
Yeah.
I talked to the man that built it.
Yeah.
Charlie Johnson
was
responsible, was in charge of the group that laid all the stone and rock work for that building.
I took my scout troop down there on weekends for a long time. We had some old wooden shower stalls. Didn't have no roof on them. We just pour concrete slab and put a wooden frame around it and cover it with boards, and they was always falling down and everything. And run some pipes across there, and that would be the shower. So we just got through putting a new roof on, a metal roof on the mess hall. We had the wooden shingles on there, and it got real bad, and we took those shingles all off and had them piled up outside out there, and people was using them for kindling and using them for fighting wasps, paddles. And later on, we started in on those shires. I took my troop out there, and we did it. So we borrowed a welding machine. I did the welding myself. And we'd go out there on the weekends, and then sometime during the weekend, we'd take, Jim Lane. It has the Arrow Windmill Company up here on Bryant Freeway now. You own Jim Lane Company?
Mm-hmm.
He and his brother, I met them when we was kids at Lewis Park. And they own the Lane Brothers Trucking Company, Big Lake. And so I got a hold of him, and he brought us a load of pipe out there. Got it from Big Lake Oil Company. And he had one of his trucks bring it out there. It's 2-inch oil field pipe. And we went around to all the showers and built in the restrooms and built a frame out of 2-inch pipe. And covered it with metal. And we got the metal from Bowman Roofing Company. They had a lot of hail damage up there, and they gave us the metal. And we covered those showers on the outside with that, and then on the restroom, we put a roof on it and built them all out of pipe and metal.
Pit latrines in those days, and then
mm-hmm.
cold water showers.
Yeah.
With what, one or two showers per shower, or whether?
Oh, we string sometimes four up in the, according to how big we're building them. Scattered out over the area there. I had about four of them. And speaking of those paddles, we had didn't have electricity back then, and we had a big generator plant. And that was part of my job up there at the mess hall, was to start that generator plant up every night.
Did y'all cook on wood fires then?
Mm-hmm. We cooked in the wood stove.
They didn't cook on gas.
Cooked wood stove.
When did they get gas in the kitchen? Long time after?
In the 40s, I guess.
In the 40s.
Yeah.
But up until then, they cooked on wood stove.
And we had a generator, big old diesel generator, or a gasoline generator, sitting out there. And I started it up right at dark. And it supplied electricity to the mess hall and down to a couple of cabins.
10 o'clock.
And then shut her down.
So how did you keep stuff cold? Did it
ice?
Just put ice in the room?
We'd pick up and go to Merson and pick up ice and groceries, a lot of groceries there in Merson. And we'd pick up some in town.
When did you work at the camp?
Well, when I came back from the Navy after World War II, I was camp director out there for 2 years, I believe it was.
How about prior to World War II? Were you there, were you working on the staff?
Yeah, up until I went to the Navy.
What, about 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
Was you always the dining hall pusher?
Mm-hmm.
That was your job at camp.
Got more to eat that way.
Got more to eat. Well, they had, I noticed that sometimes that they had several hundred kids in camp.
Oh, we had good camps back in. And see, the swimming hole was way down. It was on different property.
It was on where dam is down there.
It was on different property. Different people owned it and everything. But that was beautiful water. And those springs up there, there were 7 of them then, shooting up above surface water about that high.
I've seen and the springs,
nice.
But they're
it
just
was
barely
cold.
Bubbling.
It was cold. It was beautiful. Deer everywhere.
Arrowheads. Back,
yeah. And you know, back when we used to go out there on troop camps all the time in the wintertime, in the summertime too, we'd catch deer that got caught in the fence. Sometimes it'd be dead, sometimes it'd be alive. And if they would turn them loose and they could walk, we'd let them go. But one time we caught one, he was still alive. And he caught his hind legs. When he went over the fence, both hind legs went in between that barbed wire and it twisted. And he dug a pretty sized hole there. So we made a stretcher and brought him all the way back up to camp and put him in a chicken coop there where the camp ranger used to live. And then when we came to town, we brought him into town with us to the cabin. We had this cabin here, but it used to be over yonder where the school shop is on Guadalupe Street.
Okay.
And so when the city sold that property to the school, the school had to agree to move the cabinet to where we picked that property and set it up like it was, and then that's when we moved over here. But that deer, we brought it in with us to the cabin. Then I went and called Dr. Julep, the veterinarian, that had his little veterinary clinic up there. He came down and he said the deer's spine was broke. He knew we'd get over it, you know, couldn't do nothing with it. So then we called a game warden and he come and got it and took him to dispose of it.
What do you remember about Camp Fawcett as far as being a kid on the staff and or about going to camp Lewis Farr as a kid?
Well, it was just, well, a lot of boys grew up out there. I mean really grew up. And I've still got friends and people that I know from all over the Concho Valley Council. Like my wife is from Ballinger. And I didn't meet her until after the war and everything. And she began to talk about so-and-so over in Ballinger. You know, I know him. And come out, I knew almost every boy that was in her high school class over in Ballinger. And real well, because I met him out there at camp. And I've seen him a lot since then and everything. And we go to, she's working on a class reunion right now. And every year, we have it every 5 years. And every time I go, I see a bunch of them guys that I met at Camp Lewis Park when we was kids. And then I see them from Big Lake. And that's like J.B. Morris. Well, he was scoutmaster of the troop at Texon back then. And he and I have been real good friends ever since then. And he later on, you know, became district executive here and everything, you know. And
you've been in scouting then since about 34, 35.
Yeah.
You remember who your first den mother was?
No.
Or a cub master or anything about that?
My first scout master is the only one I remember. His name was Courtney. And two of them. And they were both shoe salesmen at Hempfield West.
Oh, they were.
Yeah. The other one, I can't think of his name. He lived over on Avenue A. I passed the house where he lived. He had a son that belonged to the troop later on.
How'd y'all go out and, to Fossil? I mean, to Lewis Farr?
Well, back then, we just went the best way we could get.
By truck? Back into the truck, mostly?
Yeah. And we got some of the parents to take us sometime, you know. And some of them have to borrow a vehicle. They didn't have a vehicle, you know. And
what did y'all take to camp? You said you made your own bedrolls.
Yeah. Back first started, well, a lot of times, everybody just had to sleep out in the open because they didn't have no tents. Later on, the council got some used tents from the Army, surplus tents. Then every once in a while, somebody would buy somebody a tent, and some of the troops started earning money to buy tents with. But money was real scarce back then, and stuff like that was hard to come by.
What'd y'all eat when you'd go out there?
Oh, lots of bacon and eggs and potatoes, beans,
stew,
pork and beans, and stew, and tin can craft. I've got some books that we used back then it's all about tin can craft. And you could make, you know, all kinds of cooking utensils and everything out of tin cans. We didn't have aluminum foil or nothing like that then, you know. You couldn't hardly find that. Once in a while you could find an old oven grate or something like that to make you a campfire grate out of, you know, cook off of.
Y'all use 5-gallon cans, stuff like that? Cooking stuff?
Mm-hmm. I've got the original sink at home that came out of Camp Lewis Far out there. I took it out there and put in another sink, and I brought it and put it in my scout cabin. And I took it out of my scout cabin a few years ago and put a stainless steel one in here, and I took it home. And I've got it sitting down at the back. Came out in
1938.
Yeah, and it was a two edition. That's the first edition. I've misplaced the second edition. This is Games for Boys, by the Chief Scout Executive. It's put out by him, and that's in the 30s something. Right?
Boy Scout Executive of Yonkers, New York.
Yeah.
C.S. Ripley. That was put out, copyrighted in 1920.
Yeah.
Gee, it sure is in good shape.
You know, a few years ago, I took a bunch of books out of my library in here. I got a library in here. And I took them out and took them home. I'm glad I did, because we came down here one meeting night and the rats got in there and eat the bindings off of a whole bunch of books.
Mm.
Getting to that glue.
Yeah.
That still got the paper cover on it.
Sure does.
There's a book that I really used a lot.
Commissary Cooking Gear and Food Cost County.
And it is a good one. 1938.
Huh.
Got menus in it. It's got the food list, quantity list, and everything like that.
All the fires, the whole work, developing the menu. Oh, yeah. For 10 campers. Oh, a lot of this stuff would be hard to come by in the store nowadays. They don't have it.
I had a whole mess of these books like this. You know, this one here was in
Fun around the campfire.
52.
Well, you got a nice library here.
And this one is back in there.
True Stories of Real Scouts.
There it is,
1931.
God. This was 1934.
Boy Scout Circus. Manual of Entertainment.
We had a circus out here at the Coliseum. Back in the 50s, early 50s, I believe. And Fess Parker was out
56,
there.
Yeah, I believe.
Fess Parker was the guest star out there. See, he's from San Angelo.
Was he a scout or did he
my dad, a scout? My dad used to cut his hair all the time when he was a little kid. Give him his first haircut.
I wonder what troop he was in.
I don't remember.
He
lived over close to my wife, Saint. But she's been gone a long time. That was 1930.
Boy, you got an old book. And these were new books then, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. 1962. Here's even one that put out by the district executive we had here a long time, Joe Galvin.
Cub and Scout Song.
Yeah.
Published by Gill Publishing Company and Eagle Pass.
Here's one on Knott's. 1962.
Pages are missing out of this one. The whole center section's missing out of it. Jumps from page 4 to 21.
There's a songbook for 66.
What was the most boys that Troop 12 ever had in it that you remember?
We used to carry about 75 on the roster all the time. We'd go to, like, when we go to Cloud Crop, we'd have anywhere from 24 to 45 boys. We made a trip to, in 1963, to Arkansas and was gone 17 days in Arkansas. And then 3 days on the way back, we spent at Lake Texoma fishing for good. I called my sister, had her call all the boys' parents, and I had 45 boys on that trip, my wife, my daughter, and my dad and my nephew. My dad drove a pickup. It's the only trip my dad ever made with me. Like, he drove my pickup and I drove his bus. We got our own bus in the early 50s. We used to...
You took over, you said, when? 45 as scoutmaster?
Yeah, that was 1960. We'd go to Camp Lewis Bar and spend a week out there. And while we were out there, we'd go down and sing minnows, catch perch. And I made some live boxes. And I got some vap cooler pumps and took the little old fan motor off of cars and mounted them to run those vap cooler pumps. And put these pumps in these containers. We'd get those big old 10-gallon milk cans, stuff like that, and take some Excelsior and make a little deal, circulate the water down to it to keep to. And we'd hook it up to trucks here, and we'd get an M-System bobtail truck. And we'd go out to Camp Lewis Far, stay a week out there. And at night, we'd bake cookies up there in the mess hall.
When was this, in the 40s?
Yeah, after in the 50s. In the 50s, after I came back. No, in the 40s. In the 40s, yeah, after I came back from the service. And we'd pack all these cookies and everything, and we'd come in on the weekend to town, and we'd load up with groceries again, and we'd take it to go to Del Rio, to Upper Lake, Devil's River, called the Upper Lake, and it was up there by Central Power and Electric Company, above that dam, was there, when they built Lake Walk at their ways all over. And we went down there for about 10 or 12 years. Every summer, spent a week.
The troop would.
Mm-hmm. We go out to that part of the time. We spend a week out of Lewis Far and then come to town and go down there for a week. And one year we went to Lake Buckhannon. Spent a week down there at Maxwell Slough, Lake Buckhannon. I used to have a bunch of Army surplus rubber rafts. I still got them back here, but they're not any good. I'm going to haul them off. They're deteriorated, you know. Mm-hmm. And we pump them things up. And we'd use them, set out trot lines, fish and everything. And we used to catch really a lot of fish. But that trip down there in Arkansas, I've got movies of that one. I started making movies back when 8mm came out. I made a lot of movies up the Cloud Trough, and then I made one on that trip to Arkansas. And one time here a few years ago, just before Christmas, some of the boys started coming in for Christmas. Young men that belong to the troop, and they come by the house, and one of them was a forest ranger, and they decided that they'd like to see them movies. I said, well, we'll have parents' night. We're having a parents' night anyhow at the cabin, and a certain date, and I said, y'all all come down there and bring your families and everything, we'll have a refreshment, and I'll show as many movies y'all want to watch. And I'll have to take all these little kids in there, you know, and their mother and their daddy standing around there, and after a while they say, look, there's my daddy come down here. Where's my daddy come?
When did you start making movies? 50s?
I guess it was during the 50s.
Did you ever make any out at Lewis Far?
No.
Didn't make any out. I'd like to see your photographs that you've got in here.
Yeah.